Moncrief on News Talk.
In the 1960s, an Austrian man came to live in Ireland. He rented a room in Dublin, tried being a trainee butcher, but then became a travelling salesman. But in truth, he wasn't a salesman or an Austrian. He was a Soviet spy, part of a vast spying network put in place by the Soviet Union. Sean Walker is the author of a book about that spying programme called The Illegals. Sean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So who was this chap who came to live in Ireland for a while?
Well, the name on his Austrian passport was Karl Bernd Mottl. He went by Bernie to his friends. And that's who everyone knew him as, both in Ireland in the couple of years when he lived in Dublin, and also in many other places where he worked in Vienna, in Brussels, in Israel. But he was, in fact, his real name was Yuri Linov. He wasn't Austrian at all. He'd basically been recruited out of university in the late 1950s, early 1960s, and put through this kind of extraordinary training program that the KGB ran, which would last for several years, where they would kind of take these ordinary, clever Soviet Russian young people and train them in language and mannerisms for years until they could convincingly pose as a foreigner. So Yuri Linov became Bernie Mottl.
And you may have well have seen the TV show The Americans, which is kind of about Soviet agents who live in the States for years. So is it similar to that they kind of trained them to think and act like Westerners in this program?
Yeah, it's exactly that. So that's the sort of most famous fictional depiction of this program. And I think while some of the missions that I think Philip and Elizabeth, they were called in the show, some of the missions they go on are a little bit over-egged. But what it captured really well, I think, is the psychological part of living in this crazy double identity where kind of oftentimes even your kids won't know who you really are. And yeah, exactly that. I mean, the training program lasts 4 or 5 years. It's entirely one-on-one. So a trainee illegal will never meet another trainee illegal, which means that, you know, if they're caught, they can't give the others away. And you never go into a KGB building. It's done in a series of safe houses. And over this time, so in Yuri's case, they would train him to be an Austrian. So that would mean both language training and, I mean, you know, really intensive language training where you're sort of practicing where to put your tongue on your teeth when you say particular sounds so that you can pass as a native. Mm. And also cultural training. So, you know, you would sit and literally go through all the years of Austrian school books that you would have read if you were a real Austrian. Huh. And this took ages, yeah.
Yeah, so he would have had a complete backstory from, you know, the time he was born in Austria. Now, as you said, he had an Austrian passport. So as far as the Austrian, now it's, I suppose in those days it was easier to forge a passport, but as far as the Austrian government were concerned, he was an Austrian.
Yeah, that's right. And it was easier then. It still wasn't easy. So basically what they would do is they would find an Austrian identity of someone who died as an infant. And in these days, you know, there wasn't this big computerized, centralized births and deaths record. So they found someone like Karl Bernd Mottl, and then they basically bring him back to life. So you get a duplicate birth certificate. You apply for a passport, and Yuri then went off to Vienna. He spent 6 months there. This is after his very long training period, so he's already speaks brilliant German. But of course, you know, it's much easier to pose as an Austrian in Ireland or anywhere else than it is to pose as an Austrian in Austria, where you're surrounded by real Austrians. So the idea was he was there for 6 months, just long enough to get his passport. He was actually called up for military service and he wanted to do it. But the KGB said to him, you know, no, that's too risky. You know, your cover's going to come under so much scrutiny. We're going to bring you back to Moscow and then we're going to start you on a deployment that we hope will eventually see you being infiltrated into America. But the first place we're going to send you is Ireland.
Right. Now, I would have thought in you know, at the height of the Cold War, the Republic of Ireland wasn't really a prime location for espionage or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. And what's kind of extraordinary about these missions, I mean, in the book I write, it goes from the 20s until the present day. And at the start of this in the 1920s and 30s, these illegals were really doing crazy stuff. I mean, they were doing assassinations. They were kind of sleeping with secretaries and embassies and coming out with suitcases full of documents. By the time Urie goes to Ireland in the 1960s, things have changed a bit. And the idea that the focus has really changed on long-term infiltration, and especially to the US. So the idea is that somebody like Urie, you know, much like he practiced his cover in Austria, he was going to go to live as this Austrian in a number of fairly low-stress environments. So, you know, Ireland, you're not going to be being potentially tailed by the FBI everywhere you go. It's going to be a kind of easy place to sort of ease into your cover. And that's kind of one of the amazing things about this program that, yeah, the KGB really thought in terms of a decades-long horizon. So they would send Urie off to Ireland. I mean, his basic tasks were to look for people who might have relatives in the US, or to, you know, look for ways for which he could convincingly emigrate from Ireland to the US. If he met anyone interesting that had those American links, he should send back a personality report on them. Maybe they could be recruited, or maybe they would be of use to the KGB. But what's really interesting is that, I mean, actually there was one or two times where he felt he was meeting some quite interesting people. He traveled to the north. He got involved in, you know, meeting a few people in different circles that he thought might be interesting to the KGB, and they actually told him to stay away. And they said, you know, your long-term mission to be infiltrated into the US is too important for you to be busted in some kind of, you know, being rounded up by police in Ireland. So, yeah, essentially what he was doing was laying low. He sort of developed a few schemes to keep going. I mean, he turned out for a communist agent, he turned out to be quite an inventive capitalist. So he started selling bath mats door to door. And then he discovered, he read something in a magazine about a new thing that had just been invented in Japan, where if you had a small TV, it's a kind of magnifying glass and you'd put it in the corner of your living room and it would make the image massive.
Oh, God, I remember.
And this
that.
Was a time, yeah, really interesting.
Oh my God, a communist sold us something into the house.
Yeah, when, it may well have been. Yeah.
And Urie and all these people, that, like, was there kind of a time limit on it, that they did a few decades and then they retired back to the Soviet Union?
Yeah, that was the idea. In reality, sometimes people couldn't really deal with this and started going a bit mad and they had to be withdrawn or in some cases even defected. In Urie's case, he ended up being arrested in 1973 in Israel, and he spent 2 years in Israeli jail before he was traded back to the Soviet Union. Because there is always that, you know, however good your cover is, of course, there's always a risk that, you know, there's an informer in Moscow or somebody makes a mistake with the documents. And then, you know, as happened to Urie in Israel, you end up getting arrested. And I would just say that, I mean, just to give you a sign of the lengths they would go to in this program. So when, you know, it was in the early 1970s when they decided they wanted to use Urie in Israel. So he's come back from Ireland. He's living in Moscow and they're thinking where to send him next. And they decide they can still use his Bernie Mottl or Austrian identity. But because they want him to work in Israel, they're going to make him Jewish. They're going to give him a Jewish grandma in his origin story. But to make this fully convincing, they decide that at the age of, I think, 37, he has to undergo a circumcision. So they send him to the KGB clinic in Moscow, you know, tell the surgeon some made up story that he has a terrible medical condition. He has to be operated on immediately and he has a circumcision. So that was the kind of level that they would expect their operatives to go to keep their cover.
That is dedication. And one of our listeners has texted in to say Yuri was good friends with a neighbour of mine. He has many photos of them together. That's why you can never be a spy in Ireland. It's far too small a country. Sean Walker is the author of that book, is also the international correspondent for The Guardian. It's called The Illegals. Sean, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.